God has great things for us today. Right? Going back to the spirit, all right? So any endeavor, any field, na if you want to be successful in anything in particular, no, we need discipline. We need some hard work. And I do believe that at that very word, some of us cringe because this is something that doesn't come to us naturally. Because I know for a fact that discipline is something that we need grace on. And it's the same way with God wanting us to grow in the spiritual. He has given us certain disciplines so that we can have progress in our spiritual aspect of our lives, right? As one of the pastors here, no, it has been my desire to really get fit, to set an example for you guys. But for some reason, I have a hard time doing it. Why? Because discipline takes hard work, takes some reminders. It's the same way with our spiritual, all right, in the spiritual aspect of our lives. We need to have some reminders. That's why we're having this series, and it's called Cross Training. You see, it's called cross training because we're not going to be talking about physical cross training, but this is about training in light of the cross. You see, the only way we can continue in this walk with Christ, the only way we can grow, we can have progress in our walk with Christ is if we continue to train ourselves for godliness. But training for godliness is not easy. That's why we always have to look at the cross, right? That's why it's called cross training. I tell you, kinsa sa inyo diri perfect kayo sa pagbasa sa Bible every day? Kinsa ang galisod sa pagbasa sa Bible every day? Another discipline would be prayer. Kinsa sa inyo diri makaingon na you're perfect in your prayer? Generally, it's a hard thing to do regularly. All right? Another discipline, another installment would be fasting, no? Diba? Saka nawong nato pagkaon, fasting, diba? Lisod ang fasting kung tinud-anay ta, all right? And then giving, that will be one of the installments as well. But today I'm gonna talk about a spiritual discipline that even pastors have a hard time, and I'm talking about prayer, all right? Prayer. Kinsa sa inyo adiri maayo kay mamuampo? Kanang tipong tibok adlaw pwede ka gaampo, all right? Lord, di ba? Every day, every second of the day, no? It is something that we think are reserved only for the spiritual, for the super Christians. So you see, spiritual discipline is very important. And if you are to grow in your spiritual life, you need spiritual discipline. You need to be disciplined. And that's why we're having this series. And prayer is the top one hardest thing that we find really hard to do. So for us to learn from the Bible, there is a specific person in the Bible who is really exemplary when it comes to spiritual disciplines. And I'm talking about the very own, no, King David. This King David, no, this is the man dubbed who is after God's own heart. All right, this is the man who would rather give up his kingship, give up his kingdom, just to be a doorkeeper at God's palace. Kaya ano? Para lang matutukan ang Ginoo. Inana siya ka-close sa Ginoo. And that's why if there's a person who can teach us about spiritual disciplines, I believe it's King David. That's why we're gonna be studying his writings from the book of Psalms. Are you ready for this, guys? It's taken from Psalm 18, 1-6. If you have your Bibles, kindly take out. If you don't, just look at it on the screen. Why don't we all stand up in reverence to the word? Let's read this all together. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. Last verse. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. You see, when it comes to prayer, magtinud-anay ta diri. There are top three prayer stoppers. Number one, I don't know what to say and how to say it. Di ka ganan mo pray kay you don't know what to say and you don't even know how to say it. Maybe it's because you're intimidated by all the Father Gods and all the yes lords and all the amens and all the hallelujahs. Maybe it's because you're confused by all the comfort fire from heaven, or confused by the "Thus says the Lord." That's why, maybe prayer is just for the spiritually elite. It's just for the super Christian. But lo and behold, prayer, I'm telling you, it's for everyone. I don't know how to say it. I don't know what to say. That's a useful reason. All right? Top two prayer stopper. I'm not sure if God really listens. Who among you can relate with that? No, maybe you've had too much of unanswered prayers. And because of that, because of unanswered prayers, somehow you've lost hope in prayer. Top three prayer stopper. Number three, I don't really care. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. You know that song, nursery rhyme, di ba? That song basically says that I don't have to pray. Why? Because if God is really God, then there's nothing I can say which can change His mind. I don't really care. If God is truly God, then why bother praying? He has everything in His hands. He has orchestrated everything in His hands. I don't know if you can relate, but I do know that a lot of people can relate. Simply, ang uba naman, they don't care simply because wala ra jud kay paki. So, you see, these three reasons why we should not pray are things that we should be breaking in order for us to have a deeper spiritual life. And with that, I want to propose to you three truths about prayers. Three taps, kumbaga. You see, di ba, when do you tap a person ba? You tap a person when you want to encourage them, right? So I'm hoping that after these three taps or three truths about prayer, you'll be encouraged to pray even more. Are you ready for this? First truth about prayer. Tap number one. I can have honest, heartfelt, intimate conversations with God. Yes, you can. You see, our first verse, it says there, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Now, this is pretty rare in the Bible. If you search for the phrase, I love you, all right? In the Bible, I love you, O Lord, you would discover that there are only two persons who was able to dare to say that directly to God, all right? The other I love you there is between people. But between man and God, man, there were only two people. And before I go to those two people who was able to say I love you to God directly, do you know that there are two kinds of I love yous? Huh? If you've been in a relationship or maybe you're married for a long time already, you know this, right? Natong I love you, na nag-I love you lang ka kay nangayo og assurance imuhang partner. Do you really love me? So you wanna hear it from them, no? You wanna hear them say it word per word. I love you, alright? That's the type of I love you that is elicited, alright? The type of I love you that is asked. But there's also the other type of I love you, wherein you love the person so much, you can't help but say, I love you. And guess what? The only two instances wherein man said to God, I love you, was Peter, when Jesus was asking him, Peter, do you truly love me? Peter, do you truly love me? I love you, Lord. Peter, do you truly love me? I love you, Lord. Three times. Yes, three times when told. Those were three times of I love you. But I'm telling you, those were just elicited. Those were just asked. But the other person was able to dare say to God, I love you, O Lord. And it's simply not because God was asking him if you love me, David. No. It's simply because David's love for God was just so intimate, was just so heartfelt, so honest. That's why he can't help but say it to him directly. All right? And that's very rare in the Bible. Try to search, I love you. There's no other character who has said that. And I believe that's the very reason why we call David a man after God's own heart. I love you, O Lord. But I do hope that in our intimate relationship with God, we fall so hardly in love with God that we can't help but say, I love you, Lord. You see, because of that intimacy, from saying, I love you, O Lord, he goes on by calling him different names. God, in the Bible, no, is usually called God or Lord, all right? Elohim or Yahweh. But in this very instance, David, because of so much love for God, he can't help but call him other names. Okay? If you see in the Bible, no, he continues by saying, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Calls him by many other names or terms of endearment. I do believe these were terms of endearment. This is not just David trying to sound so spiritual and David trying to sound so religious. Can we flash the verse? This is not David trying to sound like the spiritually elite. This is David falling in love with God so much he can't help but call him terms of endearment. Now, it's pretty important that we emphasize that statement, I love you, O Lord, my strength, right there. Because if you notice, if we take out I love you, O Lord, all right, take that out, and you just memorize or read, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. It's a totally different thing now. You know why? I'm a victim of this. I used to memorize only Psalm 18 verse 2, forgetting Psalm 18 verse 1. And as a result, I thought of prayer as about God's functionality for my life. What can you do for me, God? Such a selfish little brat. If you're not functioning anymore, then I don't need you. That was how I thought of prayer, because I forgot these names were birthed out of a loving, intimate, honest relationship with God. And it is my prayer for all of us here that when we pray, it's not about technicalities, it's not about the religious jargon, but it will be about building up your relationship with God. It takes two to communicate. And on your part, that's prayer. On God's part, that's God's word. And he never fails to speak. Open the Bible, it's there. Now we do our part. We pray. What is your term of endearment for God? I do know of some calling God as papang because they grew up without a papang, a dad. I do know of some ladies calling Jesus as their lover simply because other lovers failed them. So they found in Jesus the perfect lover. Who is Jesus to you in a personal manner? Apart from how we preach him here. Do you have a term of endearment for Jesus? It is my prayer that you will have one. Because that is a sign, that is a gauge of your intimacy with God. In the same way that in the Bible, if tanaw nimo sa Bible, the Jewish people have come up with 77 names for God because of their love for him, which basically started from God's love for them. Of course, we only love God because God loved us first, di ba? We all know that naman, di ba? But in response to that love, how are we? It was exactly the same way with David. Take out, I love you, O Lord, my strength there. Then, you're making God into a cosmic butler. You're making God into that dakilang boy. You're making God into that glorified genie. Let us not think of our prayer requests at the start of fasting as our wishes. These are not wishes, guys. Because God is not a genie whom we only go to when we need something. Truth of the matter is, with that I love you in that verse, I realized that prayer is not about God's functions. It's about heartfelt conversations. When was the last time you had a heartfelt conversation with God? With that I love you around, it's very important to emphasize David starting with I love you, because it means now it's not about the yes, no, or maybe. It's about the intimacy. If prayer was just about the answered prayers, then God could have said, do not be anxious, but in toss coin or bentot bentot, no? Present your request to God. Did God ever say that? No. He said, in prayer and petition. God could have proposed, you do a toss coin, a mere toss coin. All right? But God did not. He said, pray. Why? Because he wants an intimate, honest, heartfelt conversation with you. More than just the answered prayers. He wants to get closer to you. If he knows that answering yes to your prayer would make you closer to him, then he'd definitely say yes. If he knows that answering no to your prayer would make you closer to Him? I tell you, He'd say no. Because He wants to get closer with you. If making you wait will make you closer to God, then He will say that. Wait, my son, my daughter. His aim, His purpose in prayer is to get closer with you. You see, prayer is not about what God can do for you. But prayer is about what He wants to do with you. And what He wants to do with you is an intimate relationship. Not a transactional one wherein you only talk to Him when you need something. Unsa si God, ATM? In worship time, we have a hard time raising our hands. But in closing benediction, when prayers of blessing are being said, di ba, ah, grabe kay Lord! Gaya ko ng blessing, Lord! Lord! Pansak! ATM, Lord! I need blessing for the week! You see, God doesn't want a transactional relationship with us. What He wants is an intimate relationship. In the same way that we always long for intimate relationships with fellow men and women, that's the same relationship that God wants. What He wants is a relationship wherein you can share your inmost thoughts, your deepest desires, and even your darkest secrets. God wants that kind of conversation with you. A conversation wherein you have nothing to hide, nothing to prove, nothing to lose, nothing to fear. An all-out talk with God wherein He gets to learn about your problems, about your troubles. One thing that this assures me, guys, is that if it's honest, intimate conversation that God wants with us, then it's not about the religious jargon, right? It's not about how many Father Gods and how many yes Lords and hallelujahs, but it's about how you truly mean it. Because prayer is not about religious vocabulary. It's about honesty. You gotta be honest in your prayer, right? Pour it out before God. When is the chance that you get to pour it out, diba? When is your other chance? I believe there's no other chance. If we pour it out to anyone, it can only destroy us. But the perfect person whom we can pour it all out to, even the deepest, darkest secrets, man, that's God. He's the one who made you. And He accepted you even before you were born. He accepted you. Prayer is not about religious vocabulary. It's about honesty. Take a look at David's honesty here, the following verses, and I'll be ending in a while. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol, Sheol, by the way, in Hebrew means deepest depths, entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. Have you ever wondered why in the world that there are so many D words, words starting with the letter D, plaguing us? Disease, I had my bout of that. Delay, disappointments, depression, derailment, you had this plan and something else happened. Denial, you were rejected, you were not accepted. Demise, depression, all right? A lot of D words. But guess what? David suffered the worst of D words. It's death, it's destruction, it's the deepest depths, all right? That's what he went through. You know what he did? First thing. In my distress, I drank wine? No. In my distress, I fought back? No. In my distress, I slept to avoid reality? No. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. You see, there's one very important truth that we should learn here. Prayer should be our first resort, not our last one. I pray as a first response, not as a last resort. What is your first resort in your distress? To be honest, we do a lot of things in our distress. In our distress, I videoke. In my distress, I party. In my distress, I buffet. So that's step number two. Truth about prayer number two. I pray as a first response, not as a last resort. In our distress, we drink to forget the pain. In our distress, we sleep all day to avoid reality. How many of you have done that? But David teaches us to do otherwise. In our distress, we call upon the Lord, for He will hear your voice. The very reason why you can call upon the Lord, He hears your voice and your cry reaches His ears. Our first response should be prayer, simply because hearing us is His first priority. And I assure you, when He hears us, He will act immediately. In the Bible, when David cried, you want to know how God responded? Let's read it now. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked. Naglinog, because he was angry. He was angry because his son was being abused by his enemies. For smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. Gakalayo, guys. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. Next verse, he rode on a cherub. We tend to think of God riding a chariot driven by angels. Well, guess what? His chariot is an angel and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of wing. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. Thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through the clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them, flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. How's that for a response? But you know what? This grand entrance, this is not futile. God has a reason why He's doing this kind of entrance. You know why? Flames coming out from His nostrils, coals roving around Him, hovering around Him, arrows being scattered, lightning being routed. You know why? When God comes, He comes like that, so that any obstruction, any hindrance, any enemy, any trouble surrounding you are gone by the moment He's near. All of your problems, all of your struggles, any hindrance that you have in coming close to Him, because of that grand entrance, patay tanan, when it comes near, it's all about the love story, not the battle. That's 9 verses, guys, of grand entrance. But it's not to waste. It's not wasted. It's for a reason. It's so that the moment He comes near you, all you can focus is Him and your intimacy with Him, your relationship with Him. How exciting is that? A God who would do anything just to get close with you. Our response? Get closer. Another truth that it tells us, a quiet prayer can set in motion miracles of epic proportion. That was just a quiet cry for help. And yet, because of that, 9 verses of grand entrance, miracles of epic proportion. That's how powerful prayer is. Talking about miracles of epic proportions, you know what's the biggest miracle ever? Is it something as grand as God entering with cherubs of fire and hailstone and arrows routed with lightning? It was when God forgave us. You know how God forgave us? We were mocking Him on the cross. We were stoning Him. We're talking bad things towards Him. You know what? We were there 2,000 years ago. We were those people rejecting Him. We were those people crying, "Crucify!" But you know what set forth a miracle there? A simple prayer in the line of, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And after that, set forth the biggest miracle, our salvation, our redemption. You know what? Don't feel condemned if you haven't really prayed that much before. It doesn't matter to God. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." God knows, you just don't know what to do. And God forgives you for that. No need to feel bad. And that's the biggest miracle ever. Now, whatever mistake, whatever flaw, whatever failure, whatever offense we gave God, all has been forgiven on the cross. And that leads us to our third biggest truth about prayer. Third tap. Tap number 3. I pray on the basis that He already answered my biggest need. You know what's your biggest need? Your salvation. If not for that, you will not be here. If He's able to give you salvation, if He's able to rescue you from death, from your destruction, then why can't He not give you everything else you desire? Romans 8 tells us, Indeed, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, freely gives us all things? You know what this verse tells me? It's not just, kaya gani ni God na ihatag yung anak, how much more ang ubang butang? No, it's not just that. It's more than that. It says here, along with him, along with Jesus, all things. In other words, the moment you receive Jesus into your life, along with him, all things. All your prayers, all your requests, all your needs, all your wants, it's already in Jesus. The moment you received him, you already have it. Maybe you don't see it yet. Maybe it's in year 2016, 2017. Maybe it's in the future, but it's there. Our God goes beyond time. He's not bounded by time and space. It's there. Along with him, all things. That leads us to our final truth. He does not only answer our prayers. He is the answer to our prayers. So we don't need to look for really the yes, no, or maybe, or wait. You don't have to look for that. We pray not for our requests to be met, but for our relationship to be built up, for our intimacy to grow deeper. And I hope we all want that in our lives. God made it for us already on the cross. You know why the cross and the tomb are empty? They're both empty so that we can be filled up. They're both empty so that we can be full, lacking nothing, lacking no good thing. That is God's promise. And if you pray knowing this, then your prayer would be much richer, would be much deeper. Because then, your prayer would not just be an ATM transaction. Oh Lord, worship ko ha, taki ko blessing. Oh Lord, nag-tights ko ha, taki ko blessing. No, it will be more than that. It's supposed to be more than that. It's about honest conversations. Na, Lord, grabe, galisod ko ani, Lord. Intimate, honest. I love you, Lord. Masking wala to niya abot. I still love you. You know why? Because you are the answer to my prayer. I don't need any other answer. Your prayer life would be much richer when you know this. Are you excited to get deeper in your prayer life? Why don't you give the Lord a clap of praise right now?